Winfield.
Hey, Zach. Hey, Dave. How are you?
Hey, Tom. Doing good. Where are you at?
I have to be honest. I'm literally in the shadows of Fenway Park.
Really?
Yeah, I got when there's a game, I have to keep people out of my driveway because they want to park there and walk over to Fenway.
Oh, you live there?
I live there.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. So, sorry to say, I'm not a Yankee fan. What can I do?
It's all right. I probably hit a couple balls in your backyard.
That's probably true. So tell me a little bit. I know that there's a special story about your last All-Star game, the last of your 12th All-Star games, and your mom. Can you tell me about that?
Well, she had breast cancer at the time, and this is 1988, and basically this was really the last trip that she took, you know, was to my All-Star game in Cincinnati, and she only lasted a few months after that, but it was a happy time for her. It was a difficult time, but it was a good time, but it had to do with breast cancer.
How did you play in the game?
I got a hit like I usually did, you know, we had a lot of family that was kind of gathered around, and, you know, my mother was in a wheelchair by then, but we took her out to a couple of the gatherings, and emotions. I had a lot of different emotions at the time.
So what have you been doing with breast cancer since then?
Well, I was contacted by Ask.com and Susan G. Komen early this year and asked to be a spokesperson to try to continue to promote the awareness and the involvement of people with breast cancer and what they could do. And now with the great technology we have, the website that they have that reaches millions of people, ask.com for the cure, you know, / for the cure. You go there, you can ask any question you want. If you click on the baseball icon, money's donated to the cause. And I think that with my visibility, you know, being an analyst for ESPN, being an executive in Major League Baseball, just being who I am, we've been able to make a big difference. And this is kind of the second leg of a campaign that we're going to conduct this entire baseball season, and I think we're making a difference. And I appreciate just being able to talk about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you may know, our whole foundation here is about being a good man, and certainly you're being a good man by stepping up on, you know, breast cancer as an issue. It's something that you know, has affected any number of women, and something we got to keep working on.
Yeah, well, no, I appreciate it. I try to be a good man in a lot of different ways, and this is one of them.
So, how's the All-Star game look this year? Who are you high on?
You know, I hate to give the kudos to the American League all the time. You know what? I think the National League might pull it out because they've got good pitching. I think they've got exceptional pitching, and I think that pitching might save the day for the National League. They've been beaten down so much recently. It's about time that they won one.
So how do you feel about my Red Sox? I mean, I feel like we're the third best team in the American League East and the third best team in baseball right now.
Well, you're the third best in the American League. Yeah, they got to get healthy.
Yeah,
Boston has been. Truly, you know, and even as an analyst, I'm surprised that they're in the position they are. They could be so much further back, but it demonstrates they've got a lot of heart and a lot of soul to be. I mean, at points, Lester's been down. You got Pedroia down. Big Poppy early on was down. You've got Matsuzaka, who, you know, is iffy so much. You only be five games back now. They're doing exceptional.
I will tell you, I go to a lot of games, and watching Dice K pitch is like watching paint dry. I mean, it's the slowest thing on the face of the planet.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people don't like to see that. He's a good pitcher, but they get tired. They say, put the ball over the plate.
Well, he's very good pitcher with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, I actually put out on, we have a pretty big fan base ourselves, and I put out that I was going to be talking to you, and so I got a bunch of readers who asked me, wanted me to ask you questions, and I got a couple of funny ones that I wanted to throw your way.
Alright.
One is from Karen, and she, her dad and her granddad and uncle were both glove designers at Rawlings for years, and she wanted to know what your favorite glove was. What was your favorite glove design?
Oh, man.
Do you know?
Did
you have a favorite glove? I guess that's the question.
Man, I haven't been asked that in a long time. I can't recall, but an outfielder's glove where it's got a web where you can see through it. I mean, it's not a like an infielder's glove where it's you can't see through the webbing.
So it was a big basket. What color glove did you use?
It varied, but, you know, pretty much natural cowhide color. It wasn't like, I did have a black glove at one point, but usually the natural color. And then after time, you know, with all the things that players put on their glove, it changes colors a little bit.
Yeah. All right, I got another one. This actually is from my high school buddy, John Eddy. And he wanted to know about a certain seagull that met an untimely death in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
And your subsequent arrest and Billy Martin's outrage because, as he put it, it was the first time Winfield hit the cutoff man all year.
Yeah.
The question is, did you or did you not have a memorial service for the bird at Yankee Stadium as a debt to society?
No.
No memorial service?
No, if it happened in New York, they'd have thrown the bird over the fence and said, let's get on with the game. But someone filed a complaint and found cruelty to animals because I accidentally hit this bird on the field, killed it. And so they took me down to the police station, and after the game, delayed our flight out of the country. And, you know, they had Exhibit A on the table. I couldn't, what was I going to do? They had to bail me out. And but overall, people laugh about it after the fact. But you know what I did? Just real quick, I went up to Toronto off-season. They had a fundraiser. I had an art gallery. A guy painted a picture. We auctioned off the painting, and some of the money went to the Natural Resources of Canada, and the people were very happy with me. And then years later, I ended up playing for the Blue Jays, and we won it all. So I'm one of the favorites up there.
All right. I'll give that one to you. So we have a bunch of questions we ask all kinds of guys of all walks of life. I've changed them around a little bit, but let me run through them for you.
All right.
So who in your life taught you about manhood?
You know, there's not one person or one teacher. Times were different in the 50s and the 60s when I was coming up. So he had to, and then my parents were divorced, so my father wasn't there, so I had to learn it from friends or girlfriends. You know, there wasn't that much reading material, and they didn't have classes on it. So I learned it kind of naturally out there in the world.
Where'd you grow up?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
How did romantic love shape you as a man, a young man?
Well, I think that don't construe, you know, sex is one thing, but you find out in life you want to find someone that you can love and have a good life with and a good family, and that goes. So romantic love has played a big part of it. You know, you finally, I found someone where I had that connection. And I've been married 22 years and have a few kids. And it's, so I'm fortunate. You know, I found a person that you can have all those things with. The romantic love and the family and someone that wants to go on that journey with you.
So what you were talking about your mom before. What two words would you use to describe your mom?
Honest and reliable.
And how do you think you're most unlike her?
I'm tall. besides that, she was only 5'2 and a half.
Wow.
But I would say that, that in life, I stretched out a little more than her, you know, being able to do things and travel and took more risks in life. Because she had to make sure she took care of her two boys. Mm-hmm. So she had to be very conservative and protective and couldn't rock the boat or, you know, try to be too creative.
From which of your mistakes did you learn the most?
I'd say having the child before I was married or ready to have kids.
How old were you?
I was actually 29. Uh-huh. I mean, it sounds good, but I wasn't married, you know. I didn't get married till I was 36.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that, you know, you just got to be careful when, you know, try to have your family once you're, I mean, everybody does it backwards now. They have the kids, and they say, well, let's see if we can get along.
Yeah.
Let's live together, you know.
Hey, I did that, unfortunately. I
mean, you did?
I got two kids by a first marriage, and then I have a third kid by a second marriage, and it all worked out great in the end, but, you know,
yeah,
I wish I had done it differently.
Yeah, but that's what I would say. I would tell people, you know, try to find the right person and then get married and then have your kids in that order.
What word would the woman in your life now use to describe you, and do you think it's true?
Yeah, I think they say he's a good man, he's masculine, he's strong, a leader. So I don't think there's one word, but I think it's probably a combination of those things. And is it accurate? Yeah.
Good. Who's the best man you know, and what does he do to earn that distinction?
There's a gentleman named Robert Turner Jr. He is actually my father-in-law. And the reason I say this, the words I use with him, and is consistent, distinguished, family man, God-fearing, head of the household of a really good family, and he's a role model.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'd say a good American. He served in the military. He was head of his union for the guys that drove the trains. You know, when African American union. I mean, he's done a lot.
That's great.
So he's well respected, and I'm glad I could, you know, mention a guy like a person like that.
Do you suppose you've been more successful in your public or your private life?
I thought about it, and I'd say about equal.
Yeah.
It's about equal, because I'm big time, you know, public life, but, you know, behind the scenes. The relationship with my wife and my family is, I know it's better than most.
When's the last time you cried?
You know, you might shed a tear at one of these tear-jerking movies. You know, you dry your eye real quick, hope no one saw you. But with a real boo-hoo was when my friend Kirby Puckett passed away. Unexpectedly, remember
yeah.
Kirby?
Yeah, no, player? Definitely. Yeah,
he was coming to visit and play golf and get together. He was a great guy. When I heard he had a stroke and passed away, just that was.
What do you miss about Kirby?
He's just one of the best human beings that people would know. He was a lot of fun. He was a friend. He was a friend to so many people. And, you know, besides being teammates and all that, fishing buddy, good guy.
What advice would you give teenage boys about what it means to be a good man?
Well, it's not all about the opposite sex. You know, I take pride in, you know, men being, you know, leaders in leadership positions, you know, and you can accomplish anything. But I would say certainly enjoy the company of ladies or the opposite sex, and you know, communicate with them and, you know, find the common ground. But I think building respect for being a good man, you know, just gaining the respect of men and women and your community, and part of that is about giving, being consistent, having some values, and these are all important parts of parts about being a good man.
What?
No one way to describe it, but hopefully you'll take something from what I've said.
Yeah, that's great. What do you like to do as a guy? What's a guy thing you like to do besides play baseball?
The most cherished ritual?
Yeah.
I think two things are important. I think we take our kids to church, and people see, you know, part of the community sees your family together, and they're learning important things about how to deal with life.
Mm.
And number two is working out in the gym, going to get my workout in, and a subsequent steam and a massage. Now you're talking. You know?
That's beautiful. I'm with you on that.
But here's one more. A lot of guys don't do it. Go and get yourself a manicure or pedicure, like the girls do. Don't let them have all the fun. I enjoy that.
All right, I got one last question for you. I was actually, I've become very friendly with Dave Cowens, the Hall of Fame basketball player. Yeah, so he was emailing me last night. He's like, make sure you ask Winfield why it was he didn't become a basketball player. Because you were a multi-sport athlete, yeah. Coming up, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, when I came up, baseball was the number one sport in America. That's what I played from the beginning. I played the other sports, but when I was 12 years old, you could ask me, what do you want to do? I'd say professional baseball. And, you know, people even doubted that was possible. But that was my dream from being a young kid.
When you were a young kid, who did you idolize at that time?
Well, the guys that I could see in person or more often were the Minnesota Twins. There were guys like Harmon Killebrew, and there was a guy that you don't know, Zoilo Versalles, and even Rod Carew as he was coming up. Those guys I saw, but from a long distance, man, you tell me about Willie Mays or Hank Aaron or Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
Those were the guys. Got a chance to play against all of them, too.
Well, Cowan still thinks he should have been a basketball player.
Yeah, I know, but I'd have had to be banging guys like him, man, and a little bit bigger than me, you know? I made the right choice.
Well, Dave, you've been great with your time, and we'll get this up all over the place, get your message about breast cancer and your mom out there. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, good talking to you.
And best of luck with your family. It's wonderful to hear about your wife and kids.
All right, thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
If you need any background info, photos, anything like that, just hit me up. I'd be glad to help you out with anything you need.
Great, thanks so much, guys.
All right, see you.
Bye-bye.